Welcome to another episode of Viral by Design. Now, one of the quickest ways to reach millions of people overnight is to get into press. And big publications like Inc., Entrepreneur, whatever publications are big in your industry, essentially wherever your people are. If you know that your people read a certain publication, then getting into that publication could blow up your sales, could create huge brand awareness overnight. Now, that said, it can seem like an impossible task from being a nobody to actually getting the attention of these people enough that they'll write about you. So I've always wanted to find out whether there's a formula to getting into these publications, whether there's things you can do to stack the odds in your favor, and what it is that journalists are actually looking for that they're actually going to take enough attention that they'll write about or feature you. So I was really excited when I came across Andrew O'Brien for the first time, who's basically nailed this. He's got a formula for getting into press consistently, and it's not what you might expect. Andrew's worked with some of the biggest names in the industry, people like Frank Kern, Russell Brunson, and lots of other businesses along the way. And his method involves something quite different to what I've been told in the past, even by journalists themselves. So if you want to get yourself, your brand, or your product featured in a major industry publication, this episode is going to be an absolute mind blower for you. Here's the conversation that I had with Andrew.
Welcome to the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rotherow, where we get inside the minds of today's leading viral marketers as they reveal the exact strategies they use to build brands, products, and campaigns that are magnetic to customers, spread like wildfire, and seize the attention of millions. This is Viral by Design.
I mean, the main thing that kind of hit me about what you do is, so I've spoken to PR people in the past, so people who do PR and also press and journalists, and what really struck me about you is that you take a completely different approach, which essentially relies on sort of getting into the mind of the journalists themselves, talking about themselves. Like, how did you come across this, and can you talk through the process a little bit that you use?
You know, it's funny. I have a GED, so I have no education whatsoever, but I like to study the human brain, because a lot of people, when it comes to PR, they play with, I call it the numbers game, the spray and pray method. You know, you write an email, send it out to 2,000 reporters and see who responds. I believe in connecting on a deeper, more personal level. Right now in our world is so overcrowded with all this noise, right? And it's all about conversions and numbers and all this other stuff. When you change it and you turn around and you make it more about the human being and about connecting on a deeper, more personal level, it opens up a conversation. I also treat PR like a salesperson, right? We don't go for the kill immediately. We don't go straight to, hey, buy my stuff. It's more about, let me learn more about you. Let me figure out what works for you, what's right for you, what's not right for you, what are your goals and aspirations. And when you treat PR like sales, that's when you get better results.
Right, yeah, of course. So I mean, like, so what you said there as well, there's a lot of crossovers between kind of traditional direct response marketing and PR, right? So it's kind of like, if you view the PR, the journalist that you're working with as a customer essentially, then you're going to get better results, right?
Right. I treat all of them as if they're prospective clients, right? Or existing customers. I always want them to have an experience, not just receive a pitch. I want every time they interact with me, I want it to be an experience and a positive experience, because there's a saying that we all hear all the time, and it's, people will often forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, is there a prerequisite? Because a lot of the guys that you work, I mean, you get people into like Forbes, into Entrepreneur, Inc., these huge publications. Like, if little old me comes along to these guys and gets in touch, surely it's not realistic for them to take me seriously.
You know, a lot of people think that, because it's a common misconception about PR that you have to have a lot of money, you have to have a large social following, you have to be this big name. It's not true. It's all about the story, right? And I can get anyone's story in the media if they're willing to be transparent in their story. If we talk about Frank Kern, he's transparent about being sued by the FTC, right? If we talk about people who are real and legitimate and share not just their successes, but their struggles, the hard times, the things that they went through that most people may be embarrassed to share, most people would try to bury away, that's when you can really easily get someone in the media. And we've all faced hard times, right? It's just about how open and willing are you to admit to that and educate an audience about what you learned from that hard time.
Right, so it's more like authenticity that they're after, right? Because my immediate interpretation, what I've experienced in the past, I've always thought that it's like attention grabbing headlines, like what's going to be clickbait, what's going to sell clicks. It's essentially
the way I perceive it, might be completely wrong, is that all these big publications, they want to sell ad space, right? So they just want to get traffic to their website. So I've always considered it as that. Is that not the case?
It depends. So the media outlet's entire purpose is to get more traffic to the website, right? So they can sell that ad space and so they can charge more for that ad space. Now, at the same time, when you pitch an actual reporter or staff writer, it's more about the story. How intriguing is it? They'll figure out the headline, right? That's their job. They'll figure out what's going to bring more eyes to the piece. They're more intrigued by, is this something my audience is going to be curious to learn about? Is this something that they'd like to hear about? Is this something that they're actually going to read all the way through? Is it something that they're going to share? Right. So it's not about clickbait. Like, it's got to be a great headline. They'll figure all that out. It's just got to be the story that makes sense. Now, that's the actual staff writer, people that are employed by these media outlets. On the other side, you've got contributors. And contributors are business owners that contribute on those media outlets as a branding and exposure play. Right. They contribute not because they don't get paid to do it. They do it because it gets their name in front of more people on a credible media outlet. So if you're pitching them, then they definitely care a lot more about traffic. How many eyes are you going to bring to that piece, right? So when I pitch a contributor, I'll talk more about how many people are going to see that piece, what my client is going to do with that piece, versus pitching a staff writer, I'm more concerned about pitching the story and the angle.
Right, okay. So it all basically comes back to getting to know them a little bit more, and like just briefly touching on you know what I've seen of your work so far. It's about going and researching on their LinkedIn, what they're interested in, what they've written about in the past, and really getting into their skin. Like, so is that basically the process?
Yeah, it's, you know, you want to actually research and compliment them on something that they've accomplished more than just, hey, I read your recent piece on Forbes, thought it was great, right? It's got to be more in depth. The most important thing about my business, about PR as a whole, is they get pitched hundreds of times a day, right? So if you want to stand out and you want to prove, if you want them to listen to you, then you got to stop talking about yourself for a minute and start talking about them. Human beings like to be talked about, right? They like to be acknowledged. They like to have that pat on the back. They like to know that someone took the time to do more than just copy and paste and send an email they send out to thousands of other reporters.
Yeah, right, of course. So when it comes to actually finding people in that case, because also what kind of springs to mind for me is that when I've had PR in the past, so I had like a big wave of PR with one of my businesses, and it started out with like one or two really small time blogs and journalists, and then it got picked up and kind of up trickled. So it's not necessarily like the big guys that can always have the biggest impact, right? Would you recommend going straight in for the kill, or are there more like strategic ways to get in with like smaller people and then make sure that kind of the angle kind of bubbles up through the publications?
Yeah, it all depends on where you are in business, right? If you have never had PR or media exposure before, I always suggest starting small, right? Go after the smaller guys first. And a lot of people think, when they think PR, they're like, oh, I want to be on Steve Harvey or Ellen or Good Morning America or BBC or, you know, all these, you know, freaking huge outlets, and they have no experience in any other media. And I'm not going to say it's unrealistic or impossible, but it's really hard to get the massive media exposure if you have never been heard of before, right? If we look at the people that go on to these shows, oftentimes the people have been trending on YouTube. They went viral on social media. They've been other places first before they made it to that show. So don't ever, I always say, don't discredit the small guys, right? Because the small guys can still be very impactful, as you noticed.
Yeah, for sure. And then, working into like finding an angle, because at the end of the day, press needs someone to write about, right? So like, what advice would you have for people identifying what that angle is that is kind of like PR friendly, that is going to get talked about, that is going to be worthy of like sharing fundamentally?
You know, I think human interest stories are the easiest pieces to sell. Now, there's three types of pieces the media looks for: controversial, informative, or innovative, right? Those are the three main pieces. If you can find a way to combine all three of those into one story, that's even better, right? A lot of people are worried about being controversial because they're worried about branding or upsetting people. But you have to understand, that's what the media makes money on, right? They make money on controversy. So if you have a controversial topic, controversial strategy, controversial product, whatever, or an angle that can cause controversy, it's good because, again, the media cares about clicks and views, right? If your piece is going to start a conversation, even if it's an argument, the media is going to like that because that means more people are going to come in and give their input and insight and have more of a conversation around it.
Right, so yeah.
Those are the three that sell.
Yeah, because that whole polarization of opinion, I know it's something that works really well on paid advertising as well, right? Because then the more conversation, the more clicks you get, the more kind of the message spreads, you know, the more visibility your post gets. Now, something which is like a really interesting point, right, which I wanted to cover with you is what's the best way to monopolize on PR? Because I know a lot of people who've got press in the past and they're just not being able to monetize it. So like, what is a good process for getting people from like being aware of you to actually buying your stuff?
Yeah. So it's funny. I talk about a lot of people who've been on those big shows, right? On like Oprah and Steve Harvey. And they always tell me, yeah, I did it, but it didn't do anything for me. What I tell everybody is if you expect just organic results from PR, you're going to lose. There's no point in doing PR. Right. It's not to say organic traffic and sales won't come from it, because it does happen. It's just if you want a true return on investment out of PR, you have to take control over the distribution of that piece. Right. Don't expect Forbes to get your piece in front of 100 million people, which is how many people visit Forbes on a monthly basis. What you want to do is you combine PR with direct response marketing, right? I have a link shortener that we just launched yesterday. And what you do is you take this link shortener. Let's say I got you on Forbes, right? You have a piece on Forbes. You add it onto my link shortener. You shorten the link and it still goes straight to Forbes, but you can add your pixel. You can add a Facebook pixel, a Google pixel, a LinkedIn pixel, a Twitter pixel, whatever pixels are provided. And if anyone listening doesn't understand what a pixel is, it's a way to capture an audience. It's like cookies. And you can retarget everybody that clicked on that shortened link with advertisements. So I always say create a lead magnet that has to do with whatever you talked about in that piece, right? If I'm talking about how to get and leverage PR on Forbes, then I'm going to retarget people with my perfect media pitch training, right? So that they can learn how to actually do it for themselves in a deeper level. So that's a great way of doing it. You take that piece, you shorten the link, you run paid traffic to that shortened link, which goes directly to that media outlet, but you're able to capture the audience and retarget anyone that clicks on that link with another ad. And it brings in a higher quality audience because they trust you more, because the first place they saw you was on this credible media outlet that they trust. They don't know you. They don't know if you're telling the truth. There's so many liars and gurus and experts out there now. I mean, you watch a YouTube video and now you're an expert on Facebook ads, right? So you, by using media, is giving you that credibility you really can't give yourself.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that's because I know you worked a lot with people like Russell Brunson and Frank Kern and that kind of person, you know. So like, what is a typical journey from, these guys are already pretty huge, right? But what's a typical journey from somebody coming across an article about them in Forbes the first time to actually pitching from them? Is there ever a time that it's actually worth selling in PR or trying to actually get people directly to a sales page from that press?
Yeah, you know, the press will never link directly to like a sales funnel. So it has to link to something that looks like a website. They will never send them to like a sales page because they don't want their audience, because that's what they get paid advertising for, right? So they can't do that for you and then charge these other people money to advertise on their magazines or websites. So I always say, create a sales funnel that looks like a website and has a call to action in it, right? Or just send it to your website and make sure there's a call to action. Always make sure that you have pixels on every page that exists. So no matter where they go, you at least capture them in your pixel and can retarget them with advertising. The best thing to do is focus more towards just getting the traffic towards your website, have a call to action on your website, have a pixel so you can retarget them, and then really focus on redistributing the piece through your own paid advertising.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because I mean, the way it's starting to kind of formulate now you're talking about it, is that it's more like PR and press kind of like forms the front end of the funnel. Like Russell Brunson talks about like the pre-framing article and how that creates like a preconception about you and makes people more likely to buy, right?
Yeah, it's content marketing through a third party platform, right? So it's still content. It's your content, but it's someone else talking about you or quoting you versus you talking or quoting yourself, right? So I can write a blog, which would be a great blog, and I can run traffic to that, but I'd rather share that content with a reporter at Forbes so they'll write it, and I would rather share that because it gives me a different level of credibility and it brings me in a higher quality audience because, again, the trust is already there.
Yeah. So then, like, when you're actually getting in touch with these guys, when you've done the initial nurture stuff with the journalist, what's the aim? Like, are you trying to get them to write an article about you, or are you offering to write an article for them which they can repurpose and call their own, or like, what's the gold standard?
So the gold standard is you want to get an interview, right, and let them write it in their own words. The media actually is completely against you writing something for them and them repurposing it as their own. It's against the rules for the media outlets, so people can get in a lot of trouble for that. We've had people offer that. We just don't do it because, you know, we don't want to get blacklisted as a PR company. But your goal is to get the interview set up. Your first goal when you first send out a pitch is not even that. Your first goal is to get a response, right? I always call it, you just want to open the door. You don't want to get the, yeah, let's do the interview. You just want to intrigue them enough to respond to your email and then continue the conversation from there. So that's goal number one, is just getting them to respond. Even if it's a not right now, at least you started a conversation and you can continue to build that relationship. And then the second goal is to get an interview, which they will write it in their own words, however they see fit.
Got you. Yeah. So now, a lot of the guys that we've spoken about so far are personal brands, right? They're people who it's all about, you know, it's based around them rather than a physical product, for example. So for anyone listening or watching who's got a physical product, like say, for argument's sake, just because this is my background, a subscription box service or an e-com product, then what's the best angle then to get in? And like, what's the best angle to, is it going to be like an interview about their products, about their industry, or what's the best kind of way to handle that?
You know, I still think no matter what your business you're in, the human interest story is always best, right? People buy from people they know, like, and trust. So again, they're not buying from your business. They're buying from you, you as the business owner, you as the product creator, you as the person selling the product. So if they're going to buy a product from you, they need to trust you. They need to know that you're not going to sell them some, you know, horrible product or a product they won't like. So I always say the best thing to do is always take the personal brand route, even if you plan on exiting. It's a big question I get. Well, what if I want to exit my business? What if I want to sell it? If I get press around my name, is that going to cause any damage? And I always tell them, no, CEOs change in companies all the time. I mean, look at Apple. Apple is still huge. Steve Jobs is no longer around, right? Facebook would still exist even if Mark Zuckerberg exited, right? So these are big brands that you know who runs these companies. But it's not about the CEO. They just want to get connected with that, right? T-Mobile, Sprint, Adidas, Nike, like, their CEOs are constantly changing, but they're still getting press all the time. And they always get press around when they're transitioning into a new CEO.
Yeah.
So I always say, always sell a person, even if it's not you, have a face to your business. You know, Dos Equis had the most interesting man in the world. And that was he was the face for a long time. But if you notice, they went from the old guy and they transitioned into a younger guy, but they still transition and it's still working well. And he's the face of their branding.
Right. So would you say in that case, if you always favor the personal story, the personal interest story, would you say that the traditional press release is dead? So if I were to release a physical product, the traditional press release is just no good.
Yeah, I've actually, on my team, I've hired people that worked at Entrepreneur Magazine. I'd hired editors from Entrepreneur Magazine. I've hired producers from TV shows. I've had on my team actual media contacts, right? And the reason I did that was so I could learn more about their side of the world. And I've interviewed people from like Wall Street Journal, CNN, USA Today, like the biggest media outlets. And I always ask them these questions. And they always say, if they have a press release attached to an email, they immediately delete it. So they don't even open those emails anymore. They don't read press releases anymore because people don't want to open an attachment on their computer anymore. You don't know what could happen by opening that attachment. And if it's like a copy and paste press release inside of an email, they're just not going to read it. They're going to delete it. the only people press releases work for are people like Apple and Tesla and the big companies that people care about what's coming next, right? The big brands. For people like us, it's the strategic sniper approach that I call it the sniper approach instead of the spray and pray, right? You know, a lot of people close their eyes and do the spray and pray method, and that's what I call a press release. A strategic approach is where you speak individually to each individual reporter. Now, most people won't do that because it's too much work, which is why we get so many results, because it's too much work for everybody else. They're trying to automate everything. And it's just, everybody's always trying to find the easier way. And PR, it's public relations. You will never be able to automate relationships.
Yeah. So this is interesting, because essentially what you're saying is 75% of people that I know of are completely wasting their time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they won't get any press from it. I'm just saying that you could send a press release to 2,000 contacts and I could send 10 pitches, and I promise you, I would get more responses and more results than you would.
For sure. Yeah. So how long should one of these take, like from kind of start to finish, from going out and researching somebody that you think is going to be suitable to, and I think this is roughly your process, right? Researching somebody, going and find out what they've done, get in touch with them to compliment them on a few of their achievements, and then sort of doing what you call a humble brag, right? Mm-hmm. How long does that process take, and what is that roughly?
So if you're brand new to the process, right, when I hire a new team member who works 8 hours a day, there's no reason that they should be able to send out more than 8 pitches in a day. If they're sending out more than 8 pitches in a day, that's telling me that they're getting lazy. Right. And that's when they're brand new, because it takes time to do. Now, for me, it takes me about 10 minutes to write a pitch. But it's because I've done this for 5 years. So I have my process down. It's my process. I created the process. But anyone brand new, it should take you about 20 to 30 minutes to write the pitch, right? Because you have to do the research, you have to read some of their pieces. Like there's such a process to every pitch. And most people won't do it because they're scared of the work. But again, if I'm going to spend 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes in that pitch is going to get me in front of a potential of 100 million people on Forbes, then it's worth the time investment for me.
Yeah, for sure. So interesting what you said there, that this is your process. So,
right.
So what's your background? How did you get into this? How did you kind of discover how powerful this is?
Yeah, so I started in PR in 2013, and I started because I wanted to be a public speaker. I wanted to help prevent military suicides in the United States. And I had a crazy story of prostitution, war, suicide, and murder. Those are four things I experienced by the time I was 22 years old. And I wanted to share that story with other military veterans around the world. And I wanted to do it, but I had no way to get in front of that audience, right? I didn't know anything about Facebook ads. I didn't know anything about marketing, anything. I just knew I wanted to get my story out there. So I recorded a YouTube video in a dim-lit apartment kitchen from my computer, no microphone, horrible lighting, horrible sound. I was stuttering everything, and I sent that out to the media. I got two interviews. My first interview was Fox News here in Austin, Texas, and that one I was extremely uncomfortable. My second interview was the Austin American-Statesman, which is a local newspaper here. And I landed front page and an entire spread on the inside of the newspaper. It got picked up by the Associated Press and sent around the world. And I landed front page of Stars and Stripes, which is a magazine, a newspaper on every military base. And so getting front page on every military base led into me getting invited to speak. And that one article that got picked up by the Associated Press led into a 3-year speaking career, where I got to speak on military bases around the world, from South Korea, Japan, all over the United States, became one of the most requested Army speakers, was given over 20 awards for my work, including an award from congressional recognition from the House of Congress. I ended my speaking career by speaking at the White House. All of this happened from PR, right? Because it was that one media outlet got picked up by the Associated Press, and then I didn't end it there, right? Most people think, oh, I got in the news, I'm done. Every city I went to, I would pitch reporters and get on the news in every city that I would speak at. So if I was traveling for speaking, I would get on the news in that city, oftentimes 3 or 4 media outlets in that city. So over 3 years, I was featured in over 75 global media outlets. And it got to the point to where national media, BBC, MSNBC, USA Today, Al Jazeera, they all came to me every time that the topic of veteran mental health came up in the news. They would come to me. They would pay a car to come pick me up and take me to the studio and do interviews and all that, because I had become the subject matter expert on the topic, even though I had no degrees in psychology.
That's crazy. So, I mean, it's really cool the way that snowballed, you know, just from one thing, and then you just essentially were just consistent, right? You just went back every single time you moved to a new place, then you just rinsed and repeat the same process.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And is it just a set? So once you've got a script down for something like that, do you basically just go in and like swap out the details, like swap out the name of the journalist, and then just hit up loads of different people? Is that how it goes?
No, every time it's always different, right? Because every reporter has now the second half of my email, the humble brag and the ask is always the same, right? So I have a 5-step process: research, compliment, connect, humble brag, and ask. My humble brag and ask are always going to be the same, unless it's a different angle. You know, if I'm talking about veterans, that's one thing. If I'm talking about PR, that's another one. But the first three, the research, compliment, and ask, or research, compliment, and connect, are always going to be different because every human being is different, right? So that part always has to be replaced. But I have a template that I follow, and I just kind of fill in the slots, but it's always different.
Right. So now, like, kind of fast forward to today, you do this for clients, right? This is your business, that your business model is that you take clients on and you get them into the press. So is that right?
Yes. Yep.
So what, and how does the process differ for that then? If you're doing it on behalf of somebody else, do you say you build the relationship and then you've got that relationship and you just fire out new releases? Well, not obviously not press releases, but you fire out sort of warm emails to this press, to these press contacts.
Yeah, there's a couple ways that we do it, right? The first way is we are consistently always working on building new relationships. So I send out these promotional video boxes. And so it's a box that when you actually open it up, and this is new, right? So I haven't done this yet. I've done video cards, which are like greeting cards that when you open it, it plays a video, like a birthday card that plays music. When you open it, this actually plays a video when you open the card. And I introduce myself and I tell them that I'm there to be a resource, and I do like a written pitch, but my pitch is more about connecting on a professional level and having them use me as a resource. It's not really pitching them a story. And I do that to build my relationships so that I can depend on those relationships when I have a client that matches what that reporter is looking for. That's one route. And the other route is I follow the same process for my clients to media contacts I don't know. So I'll create promotional boxes and I'll physically mail those to these reporters with a printed out pitch following my process on high quality paper, right? Luxurious, like it feels good in your hands. It's a video card of me speaking directly to them. Like I'm speaking to this video right now. It's me speaking to them, saying their name, like talking about their accomplishments. They can tell that I took time to make a custom video just for them. It's not one video that goes in the same card every time. And then if they have a book, I'll include the client's book. If they have a case study, I'll include like a printed out case study of something that they've accomplished, whatever it is. So I do it both through physical mail and digital through email. But physical mail works best because, again, they don't even know video cards exist. They don't know video boxes exist. So they're so impressed that it doesn't even matter if they like the story. They're just, again, it's the experience. They go through an experience when they get a pitch from me to the point to where they just want to help me out because no one's ever done that for them.
That's really cool. So, you know, there's a lot of crossovers there into stuff like pattern interrupt and direct response marketing, right? You know, like doing something unexpected. I'm really starting to see now how this differs from just like a press release, which just gets deleted, to actually stopping somebody's day and making them go, oh, this is unusual, right? This is something different.
Right.
Yeah. I heard about a guy actually just incidentally who, created a custom Snapchat filter for a press event. This is like a super cool idea, which basically promoted himself. I can't remember the exact thing, but this was pretty early on when Snapchat was quite new. Created a custom Snapchat filter and ended up getting a bunch of press off the back of that just by kind of creating the unexpected. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, the funny thing is the only way to stand out today, you just got to go one step further than everybody else, right? That's all you have to do, because right now the world is lazy. Right now the world is trying to automate everything. When you put in the work to do something different, something unique, something special, it catches eyes. And that's our job in PR, is to catch eyes.
Yeah, That's super cool. So where can people learn more about what you do and sort of find out a bit more about how they can get involved with you?
Yeah, so businesspublicist.com is my personal brand, my personal website. You can learn more about me. You can see what we do, what we offer, all that stuff through there. There's plenty of stuff that you can see on there. And on social media, it's just Business Publicist on all platforms.
Awesome. And so what's next for you? You mentioned earlier on the link shortener, which sounds really exciting. Actually, I'd be interested to use that myself. Where can people find that?
Yeah, it's leveragedinfluence.com/app. And so leveraged as in past tense with a D, influence.com/app.
Super cool. Well, listen, Andrew, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I know you're super busy, but thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me on.
This has been the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rothero. For more viral marketing secrets and to get detailed cliff notes on all episodes, visit viralbydesign.net.